D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We are efforting Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider. He is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. So we will grab Elliot as soon as we can. Our question of the day, not to steal a gimmick from Chase and Big Joe, ranking Barry Trotz as a GM on a scale of 1 to 5. We actually do have Elliot Freeman. So let's go. Let's table that. And we'll go to Elliot Freeman on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Elliot, you have been at the forefront of the reporting on Jonathan Marchessault and whether or not he would be open to moving on from Nashville after one season. Barry Trotz held his pre-draft news conference a couple of days ago. He refuted those reports, saying, quote, "There's no truth to any of that." So where do things stand on the Marchessault front with the Predators? Because that was a pretty strong denial from Trotz.
Well, I think right now there's probably nothing to it, in the sense that there's nothing really going on. Hold on one second. I almost have to sneeze here. I am under the impression that there was at least, I don't know how serious it was, but at least a conversation about, you know, would you want to do it? I think there was also a question internally after some of the stuff that happened both during and at the end of last year. Would the Predators have to consider it? But I just don't think it went anywhere. As I mentioned to you, you know, Marchessault has the control. And I think that was very limited. Even if he was willing to do it, there would be very limited places he would be willing to do it with. And I just don't know that any of those places were feasible. So when Trotz says right now that there's no truth and it's not going anywhere, then I have no reason to dispute that at this point in time.
So Elliot, yesterday you were reporting from the Board of Governors and you had a notebook detailing some of the things that are coming out of that. You also mentioned that the NHL has approved Bill Haslam's additional 18% purchase of the Predators, which gives him almost two-thirds ownership of the franchise. What is your sense and the sense around the league of Haslam as an owner as he transitions into that role and how he might differ in that role than the previous controlling owner, Herb Fritch?
I don't know that we really have a good answer on that yet, Adam. I'll say this. I've heard that he's determined. I've heard that he wants to be successful quickly, but obviously he would have had a big role in knowing exactly what the Predators did a year ago on July 1st, but he's never been the majority owner until now when he gets the two-thirds, so you can't always make all of the decisions. I mean, you guys know him better than me. This is not a guy who's really interested in mediocrity. He's not a guy who's interested in being, you know, where the Predators were in the NHL last season. He's been a pretty successful guy all his life, and he wants to have good results. But I don't think we really know 100% yet what he is. I think we'll get a better idea. But the one thing I've been told about him is that he's not a guy who's going to be happy with where the Predators were last year, just like I don't think anybody else in Nashville hockey land was either.
Elliot, with the new CBA, you mentioned yesterday in your reporting that player contracts will now be term limited to a maximum of 7 years for players re-signing with their current club and 6 years for players on the free agent market. So subtracting a year from what we know now, 8 years for players re-signing with their current club, 7 years for players on the free agent market. You also mentioned that that phenomenon, perhaps, with deferred salary and contracts that's leaving too with this new CBA. How do you think that those two factors, the term limited contracts moving down a year, basically no more deferred salary, how do you expect that to impact the free agent market starting Tuesday?
Well, also, I think that we should also mention, too, I didn't have it last night, but I have it. I had a note on it this morning, Adam. They're also capping signing bonuses. So right now, you could have almost all your salary and signing bonus except for the in-season minimum. So, for example, let's just say your actual cash this year was $16 million. The in-season minimum is $7.75. You could have $7.75 in salary and $15.25 in bonuses. They're capping that at, I think, 65%, 60 or 65. I can't remember it right now. And also, what they also used to be able to do was they used to have, well, they still do have a situation where some years could be worth more than others, but the variance couldn't be off by more than, I think, a quarter. They're shortening that to 20%. So they are really going, the owners are getting some concessions on these contracts here. It won't affect anything this year, Adam, but in a year from now, it will. I think you're going to see that. So, for example, I think John Tavares and the Toronto Maple Leafs are trying to get a deal done. I believe deferred money has been one of the proposals there. We'll see if it ends up. But it's going to be interesting to see, like, for example, on July 1st, like, Kirill Kaprizov is eligible to sign an extension. Connor McDavid is eligible to sign an extension. Jack Eichel is eligible to sign an extension. Are any of these players going to be more inclined to do it now if they want eight-year terms as opposed to wait because next July 1st, they're not going to be able to do it? I think that's going to be the biggest question. Does it get people to say, you know what, I'll commit now because I'm interested in the eighth year as opposed to seventh?
Now, Elliot, the NFL for many years, they've tried to add extra games, and they have, and they want to get to a point to where they're even playing, you know, upwards of 20 games, eliminating the preseason and in general. And now you see hockey potentially doing that, taking away some of the preseason games and adding games to the season. Do you think they will get there anytime soon? Or do you think this is one of those deals where, you know, the players are going to say no, they're going to push back extremely hard on it, and it's not going to happen?
It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. 84 games is going to happen. It's part of this deal. So basically what's going on right now, Derek, is the league and the Players Association are still meeting. And the hope is that tomorrow morning here in LA, they're going to have a press conference announcing a new CBA, and 84 games is going to be part of it. Less exhibition season. The one thing is, like, I look at the NFL now at 17 and eventually getting to 18, like, the physical toll on those players. I remember I covered the CFL, the Canadian Football League, and I saw when it went to 18 games, and the speed of the players in the CFL is incredible. They don't have the size that a lot of the NFL guys do, but I remember watching those games from the sideline and be like, I can't believe they're doing this for 18 games with how fast they go. The NHL, I think the reason they're doing it, Derek, is because it makes it easier for the schedule. You can have more games in your division than before. And there's teams out there next year playing eight regular season games, six or eight. I think that's crazy. Now, I think I will say this. There are some people who think the schedule's too compressed. They think it's too much. But I also know they're going to be happy with fewer preseason games.
Talking to Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada, draft coming up. The crazy free agency is upon us as well. Elliot, any overlying themes right now you're seeing with some of the deals that have been done? Maybe we put Evander Kane's trade in a category of its own, but I'm talking about things like Zegras and Paterka and some of the other deals that have been done. Do you see a theme in terms of the price value that has surprised you at all?
Well, I think if you want to move money, it's actually been less of a price than...
I guess that's where I was going. Like, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, if you look at Seattle, they really wanted to get Mason Marchment. Dallas didn't have to eat any money, so Seattle gave up, like, two mid-round picks. That's like a cheese sandwich. Vancouver going to get Evander Kane. They didn't... Edmonton didn't keep any money. Vancouver basically had no cost. Also, it's, you know, a cheese sandwich.
Is it at least a grilled cheese sandwich with you know, the right kind of cheese?
It depends. Like, do you like bacon and tomatoes on it too?
Right,
like, you can have whatever you want.
I mean, it could be just a plain cheese sandwich.
If you're
with
buying
nothing.
The sandwich, you can decide what you want. Really, I think that's totally fair. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, these teams, they want to move money. And if you're willing to take the player, it doesn't cost you anything for it. Like today, like Frederick Goodrow, he's not a great player, but he's a serviceable center in the NHL. He went for like a mid-round pick, a grilled cheese sandwich. Like, it's like, there's some players here that have value. I know when Peterka got traded from Buffalo to Utah last night, he didn't go for as much as people were expecting. But those were players, at least. Like, Peterka is a valuable player. If you're looking to move money, or you're willing to take somebody because you like the player, you're not going to have to give up much to get them. I still think there's more coming here. I think there's the possibility of Bolin Byram, a defenseman from Buffalo, Rasmus Anderson, a really good defenseman from Calgary. I think there's more coming here. And then, of course, the free agents.
Let's talk about another category, and you brought it up on the podcast. And this name intrigued me because of the connection back to Barry Trotz, and that's Noah Dobson and the crossroads he's at with his contract with the Islanders and where the Islanders are. They're shaking things up. They've got kind of a new regime, and they may have to do some real deep thinking of how to progress. Is Dobson the kind of guy that it just seems like there's a lot of reasons I could list of, hey, that actually could work with the Predators. Is that worth exploring? Where do you think the Dobson thing is heading? And is it connected a lot to the Evan Bouchard situation?
Yes, it kind of is. Like, first of all, he's a right-hand shot defenseman. Those are really hard to find. He had 70 points a couple years ago. That's really impressive. He didn't have a great year this year, but neither did the Islanders, and he's 25. Like, those are guys that teams don't like to give up from time to time. Willie, one of the things that's going on in the league right now is that the salary cap has really jumped, and everybody is trying to figure out what this all means. And the agents, and that's their job, because of the salary cap jump, they are looking for big jumps. I think that Dobson, who's a year away from unrestricted free agency, is asking for about $10 million a year. I just think the Islanders, like, if you're a 70-point defenseman in this league, particularly a right-hand shot, you're going to get that. However, he hasn't done it consistently. And I think the Islanders are not convinced that they want to be the team to pay that. But it's when everybody knows that you're in this situation, it's really hard to make a deal sometimes. I think the player has absolute value. I could totally see a team like the Predators being interested. But number one, you know that that's what the player is asking for. How do you feel about offering that salary? And number two, what's the acquisition cost? Like, it's going to be a big cost. And, you know, I think the Islanders have a big decision, sign them or trade them. And I think the other teams that are looking at this, like, basically right-hand shot D, 25 years old, everybody wants him. I think the salary ask and what it's going to cost you, it's a bite. Like, if he turns out to be what he can be, you're going to always feel great about it. But he's not there consistently yet. And for a lot of these GMs, there's that little nagging feeling of, what if he doesn't get there? I have no doubt that Trotz has looked into it, you know, but it's a big price, and it's not like, you know, it's not like Nashville has a lot of things I think you'd want to give up for a player like that unless you're absolutely convinced in the player.
And Barry Trotz did not bring up any specific names, but in his recent talk pre-draft, he did sort of intimate he would like to find an established, I think the word he used was established defenseman, the right guy to add to the mix. Mm-hmm. You don't have enough resources to go get four guys or anything like that, but one defenseman. So do you have any in mind or any rumblings you're hearing of who that target could be?
Well, I think the one guy that a lot of people are kind of wondering about, and we'll see what happens with him over the next few days, is Aaron Ekblad. And, you know, he's a right shot D who's coming off the best hockey of his life, Willie. Mm-hmm. And I look at your right side and tell me if I'm wrong here, but in alphabetical order, I think your right side now is Baron Blankenberg Englund. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So, like, Ekblad would be an upgrade. I think it's going to be a I think he wants to stay in Florida. It's going to be a challenge for them to do it, a real challenge for them to do it. I don't know what I would say the likelihood, maybe 50-50 right now. But this is not a guy who was really interested in leaving Florida. He told the media before the final he would do what it takes to stay there. But if it still doesn't work out, it's not like Nashville is too far from there. And, you know, I mean, it would depend on your cap situation. The fact that you're a no-tax state has its benefits. It would depend on your cap situation. It would depend on how Ekblad feels. But I look at your roster, right shot D are hard to find. I, from a hockey point of view, it absolutely makes sense. I think we'd have to find out what's the interest of the player and can you guys make it work. But like, and the other thing, too, is after you guys went so big last year and it didn't work, I wonder if in any way you guys would be a little shy about it. But the way that that guy played this year, he looked fantastic, especially in the playoffs.
And people should know, if they didn't follow it during the regular season, he was suspended for an illegal performance-enhancing.
PED, yes.
Is that considered a one-time mistake, or are people raising their eyebrows and wondering if that affects his value at all?
I have to tell you, like, nobody has brought that up to me. Hmm. That's an issue now. I mean, years ago, that happened to Nate Schmidt, and he really disputed it. He was really upset about it because apparently the amount, it was like so minute. But hey, you know, Nate Schmidt is still playing. He just had a great playoff for the Panthers. So it's not like it's impossible that you can move on and still be effective. But nobody has raised that to me, Willie. Nobody.
Elliot, before we let you go, of course, the Predators have three picks in the first round of the draft tomorrow. They are not the only team with multiple first-round picks. The Penguins now have multiple first-round picks. Montreal has back-to-back picks in the middle of the round. I believe the Flyers have multiple picks. Of the teams that have multiple first-round draft picks, is there a team that you think is best positioned or likeliest to maneuver those picks in the first round?
I would say all of them would consider it. Like, I don't think you guys are doing anything with your fifth overall pick unless it's, you know, maybe moving up or down one or two spots if the draft unfolds certain ways. But I expect you guys to use that pick to in that area to draft a player. But the Predators also have 23 and 26, right? Like, I could see Barry doing something with that. I can definitely see Pittsburgh doing something with 11-12. I could definitely see Montreal doing something with 16-17 and Philly as well. Like I have to tell you, Adam, we all know who's going one. Schaefer's going one of the Islanders. Most people think Mises going two to San Jose, if not him, Frondell. And then I think you're going to see – I think there's a lot of variance from there, Adam. Like, each team's lists are different from that point on. Like, who do you have at three, and then where are you going from there? So I absolutely do believe, depending on how this unfolds, you are going to see some teams move around, for sure.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet NHL insider, joining us on D-Mace, Vangen, and Donick, as he does every week during hockey season, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, always a pleasure. Enjoy the festivities, the stretch run for you here. Draft, free agency. I know cottage season is just around the corner.
Yeah. You know, Adam, I'll tell you, so this morning I was up at 5 a.m. local because you got to be on Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
I went for like a two-hour walk, and one of my camera guys told me, saw me, and says, you know you're wearing your shirt inside out, right? So that's the kind of day it's been already.
Oh, well, I don't blame you.
But burning the candle on both ends.
Yes, but
sometimes you got to do it.
We look forward to all of your coverage
Take
on Sportsnet.
Care,
thank you, Elliot. Elliot Friedman joining us on the program, 615. We've all been there. 615-737-1025. I want to talk about this Aaron Ekblad thing. I want to discuss that coming up next. But before we do, I do have tickets to give away. I've been meaning to do this. So be caller number three at 615-737-1025. You will win a four-pack of tickets to see the FIFA Club World Cup match at Geodis Park tonight, Al Hilal versus CF Pachuca at 8 p.m. at Geodis Park. Caller number three, 615-737-1025. You will win a four-pack of tickets to that soccer match tonight. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game.